receptive if the legislature appropriated the funds.
Dr. Olds and I have discussed this many times, and all I want to say, it's a real delight to be able to see the University of Alaska and the APU working together as closely as you have been. I think it's been a marvelous period for everyone.
Well, I must say it's refreshing to me as well, having served now in third presidency, two of them private and one of them public, and half my career in a state university system and half of it in a private system. I always thought till I came here that we were intended to work together, but we've had a few problems. I'm grateful, and I say it publicly, to have Chancellor Outcult now as our chancellor in Anchorage, who is fully cooperative and a splendid colleague with whom to work.
Dr. Olds, your board now is not the same, pretty much not the same board it was back when APU did close up that year.
That's correct.
I was in the legislature at that time. We were, as you remember, you weren't here, but I'm sure you heard about it, negotiating a possible purchase of the campus.
Yes.
And the board at that time, the AMU board at that time, kept waffling back and forth.
10-11 vote and a 9-10 vote.
So now, but now you have a different board, and you think it's fairly firm that if this would be if money is there and the negotiations take place, that they would not back out then.
I believe so, Mr. Chairman. I have to say, I work, my contract says at the pleasure of the board.
I understand that.
And I don't believe it would be right for me to be here today offering testimony if I didn't believe that were so.
Thank you. Senator Clinton?
Yeah. Glenn, is the board agreeable to the price that's listed here also?
That's been part of the problem at stake. This is not only very valuable land, but it's the land values in Anchorage, as you know, are just escalating unbelievably. And that figure represents the appraisal that was done. What I think is another matter. That is the appraised value of the land. It will be worth double that in 10 years.
Anything else? Thank you, Dr. Olds.
Thank you for letting me slip in before.
Sure.
Mr. Smith?
My name is Larry Smith, and I represent the students at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I'm president of the student body, and I came down here in support of this bill mainly because I would like to point out some safety problems that students are currently having. Right here is the Health Occupation Facilities building, and this is a thoroughfare as well as this new Bogorski Street extension. Okay. As you notice in both of the plans, there's parking is provided right here, and which is much needed because now there's such an overflow of parking that students are parking along right here across from Providence, as well as underneath this overpass. And there's a bus stop here where students catch the bus. But students have begun to park all along here on both sides a good ways down. And it's becoming a real hazard. And it's not going to surprise me if one of these buses hit a car or vice versa. And this parking problem extends a good ways down in here. And I noticed on this plan over here, this more than likely would be an overpass. So, you know, if traffic does begin to increase, and the way they've redone this whole Providence Drive 36, I assume that this traffic is just going to increase more and more. Because a lot of people really aren't aware of this passage now. But this parking here would greatly alleviate this problem here, and as well as here. It's come so close several times, and I've been crossing the overpass and looked down and saw a bus and a car come really close to smashing it out. And I'd just like to point out on either one of those plans, there's some parking that's much needed. Mr. Fisher, you mentioned something that I think you hit on the crux of planning, and that perhaps in the next 10 years some type of overall direction, and that way we would get out of this reactionary stage of reacting to a crisis and get more into an active role. And I think that's the fundamentals of planning, being more active than reactionary. And that's what our campus and this administration and the students, we sit on almost all of the committees that I know of, and we provide input. And one of our biggest problems was, you know, one of the problems that I saw was the parking, the problem. And it's really nice to see the parking in both plans. So regardless of the plan that's settled on, at least that problem there would be alleviated. There's been talk of the university moving perhaps to another side of town. And I hope that these beliefs, I hope people can reconsider them, because if the whole campus is moved to, say, somewhere along the Campbell Air Strip, this would set back the university more than likely several years. And to catch up, it could take 3-4 years. And in that time span, that's long enough for a baccalaureate. So, if we're going to decide to move to the entire campus, really talking about missing somebody's education. There was discussion on the height of the buildings, and that's been one of my major concerns, is that if we continue spreading out like that, eventually we're going to continue to run out of land. And some type of megastructure that would... I've visited universities where they did go up several stories, 6 to 10, 12 stories, 15 stories. But the complex itself was so big that it was supportive. And now we're talking about large investments of funds. And I don't know how feasible that is, but I know that would alleviate some of this problem of running out of land. But we're talking about a major investment. And I think if we continue to spread out, when I first got involved with the university, I started looking at why was it that there were 2- and 3-story buildings all over the place. And we were worried about land. But I imagine, as I understand it, the majority of the cost of the building is in the foundation. And if we invest in a building that can go 6 to 10 stories high, but say for the first 2 years, because of funding, we can only afford 3 stories, well, at least that foundation can support 3 more if funding comes along later on down the road, instead of building these structures out. That's about it. My major concern is parking, and I just want to emphasize that in this bill, if it's passed and the agreements they're negotiated as they are, as I assume they will be settled, it will alleviate that problem and could save some lives. I'd be willing to entertain any questions. Yeah?
Well, Mr. Smith, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I would almost guarantee you that you're going to have a parking problem. No matter what, even if this would go through, because it's going to continue. The only way to avoid it would be to take perhaps those skyscrapers, and then you got more room left to park cars, right? Unless you're going to build a parking garage and go up 5 or 6 stories of a parking garage. But if you don't do one of those two, you're going to have a parking problem if you buy this land and put the buildings on it. It's my guess.
Yeah, well,
I have no insight into the future you don't have, but I'd bet a month's pay on it.
That's
all I got, Terry.
You pointed out something real significant. Either one of these parking facilities, though, I imagine if it came down to it where there was a real parking problem, a garage could probably go up in either one of them.
Point is, if you don't do either one, you're going to have it. If you keep 2-story buildings going out this way and parking lots going out this way, you won't have enough land for that parking 10 years from now either, 5 years from now probably.
Both of us served in the Fairbanks campus, and they've got thousands of acres, and they've got a parking problem. I agree that, you know, you won't get away. You can improve the circulation, you can improve the parking and so on. You'll still have a problem. What about more use of transit? Is any chance of public transportation making inroads?
Well, I think it's being utilized quite a bit now, as I understand it. I mean, there's quite a few students that ride a bus. I'm not sure of the new mayor's plan for public transit if he continues to go along the route of buses instead of some other means. But if he continues with that, you know, as I understand it, I mean, I do my best to find out what type of transportation is going on, and a lot of them are turning to the bus. So I'm not sure how much more I can give you other than that, you know, given that the students continue to run into these parking problems, more and more of them will be turning. But, you know, relative to the increase in enrollment, I don't know how it will be offsetting at all.
Well, maybe by having a parking problem, you'll assure that more students use transit. I might ask both of you, Larry and Dave, has there been a campus-wide analysis of student transportation?
Yes, there has been to an extent, long-range facility planning committee. That group has looked at a variety of alternatives. We feel kind of caught. We want to avoid the dilemma of being caught. If students and faculty and staff continue to drive at the present rate and we expand our enrollment, one alternative is to turn that whole area of land into one big asphalt parking lot. That is extremely distasteful, doing that. The other one would be to build out a parking structure. Well, now, a parking structure, the last two major parking structures that have been built in the Anchorage area have run between $16,000 and $22,000 per parking place. That's an awful way to sink capital. So, while we realize that we'll have to have undoubtedly some parking structures, we've been looking at alternatives. One of them is indeed to improve the amount of public transportation in the area so more people will use it. That service area has been improving over the years. There are a variety of things that other universities have done to dramatically increase the percentage of students and faculty and staff riding on buses. One of them is, in the case of the students at Santa Barbara, they voted in a $3 per quarter fee, which automatically gave every student a parking pass, unlimited pass. The transit district there was delighted because they had a for sure pot of operating money, which such outfits tend not to have. Only about half the students used it, but the other half the students were delighted with it because now they could find a parking place because the other students were riding the bus. So that's an example of one type of thing that could be done. I think we absolutely must reduce the reliance on cars to get back and forth to the campus. We cannot eliminate it because many of our students are part-time students. They're working full-time, and they come out and take a course or two. For those students, they really do need a car. And we really need to provide them with an opportunity to get to work, take a class, have a place to park, and go right back to work. So we, as opposed to a strictly residential campus, we can't completely solve the problem by alternative modes of transportation. But we certainly, I think, can ease it from our present situation without those awful alternatives of huge capital costs or just making the whole place asphalt.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the discussion. I have a series of questions on this particular bill, and I'd like an opportunity to meet with Ms. Pounder before we get
further along. I don't want to cut off Mr. Smith. Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
I believe Mr. Anderson is here for this bill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm Patrick Anderson. I came down specifically because this bill was being heard. I think that you've heard a lot of the problems that exist in Anchorage. To answer one of Mr. Smith's earlier questions, Mayor Knowles is extremely interested in improving public transit, which sounds like something that the university could use. Same thing with downtown. We could use public transit for downtown. So it's on the agenda. With respect to the university itself and the land transfer, the municipality will not be involved in the negotiations or other processes. Is in favor of the transfer. It does solve some university problems. It alleviates certain other problems that would happen with rezoning of that area to an office, residential office complex, and that is the parking traffic patterns in the area. The mayor has also initiated discussions with the university, Alaska Pacific University, to purchase about 90 acres of APU land to preserve that land as well. And as part of that process, I understand they're looking at the entire land use patterns out in that area. Other than that, I have nothing specific. The municipality is in support of the sale by APU to UAA. And Mr. Stimson, I'd be happy to coordinate whatever meetings you'd like to have with members of the municipality, and the same with anyone else. If there's someone specific you would like to come down to talk to, I'll be happy to put you in touch. The mayor has plans to come down approximately every 2 to 3 weeks. I'll try to get him in town for a little bit longer than he was last time, if that would help.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I have some general questions, which you can probably address from here. I'm curious in the overall picture of what the municipality's involvement has been with the plans up to this point, whether there are, what are the implications for zoning, and what are the limitations, so like building size, we're talking about the possibility of trying to build a larger structure than what is proposed right now. can you tell me generally how the zoning will impact that area?
We've had pointed out earlier the wetlands that exist in that area, Goose Lake recreation areas, the 90 acres that the mayor is talking about trying to acquire is also slated for recreation development. We've had significant work done on a couple of major roadways in that area, 36, I believe, is the one that fronts on the ACC, and Northern Lights is going through rather substantial expansion. Lake Otis is in that area. There are a considerable number of professional office buildings in that area because of the presence of Providence Hospital.
Specifically on this piece of land we're talking about.
Okay. On that piece of land itself, I haven't seen any analysis exactly of what would happen. The present zoning is what's called PL1. I'm not sure what the designation is. And the request was changed to change it to RO. And I don't think we've run anything by. I haven't talked to the planning department yet. The change request was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission and had been sent to the Assembly before it was put on hold. So I would assume that the RO did meet with Planning and Zoning's requirements.
I'm not familiar with those terms. Generally, what kind of, I'm just trying to get a feel for what kind of limitations are going to be placed on the university.
That would have to be negotiated between the city and the municipality. And I don't think those have been started at any point because they haven't acquired the land. It'd be a bit premature at this point. We would just have to look at the traffic patterns, what the projections are. If the university does go to some, for example, as this diagram points out, residential, that takes away a bit of the traffic congestion problems. If we're talking about, I don't know what the enrollment is right now, we certainly understand the university's need for expansion space, its growing role in the Anchorage community. And we're pledged to cooperate with them in whatever way we can through the process. And just because of the uncertainty of that land purchase and the plans of the university, the new administration, we haven't sat down and tried to run through with the university exactly what would be available on that site. And again, again, a lot of this wetlands discussion took place during Mayor Sullivan's administration. And I haven't had a chance to review it, nor am I sure has the mayor had a chance to review it, the status of that.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chairman.
If I might just follow up and partly respond, because I've been very much in the middle of this. There has been initiated a joint planning process for the whole area, which involves the University of Alaska, both of the components, involves APU and Dr. Olds, is bringing in the hospitals, but above all, involves the municipalities, so that everybody is finally marching together. This just began since January, and it involves people at the administrative level and board policy level, student, faculty, and technical personnel, so that whatever is happening there, assuming this continues, will result in a compatible development program. The zoning, so far the zoning, height limitations and so on have not been any kind of an obstacle. The point that was raised before about density is really crucial, because there's plenty of land to have an urban university. At the rate the land has been consumed, you can't have an urban university. But the planning that's to go on now, because you use up the land in a low density fashion. It's just like if you have a single family residential neighborhood, you can put only so many families in there. If you build high rise apartments, you can have 20, 30 times as many families living in a different area.
I guess it's the term urban university.
This started off, I was involved 30 years ago in selecting this land and starting the planning. Anchorage then had a population of about 20, 30,000. You know, nobody conceived that this would be a university that would have to serve hundreds of thousands of people, you know, and at that point it was just all spread out and nobody really worried about having, you know, we got as much land as we could, but we weren't worried about running out of land. Now people are worried about running out of land, so there's concern now about more effective use of land, higher density development, and the perspective of this new planning process is a 20, 30, 40, 50 year horizon, so that they will be taken into account, you know, dealing with the heights and land uses.
Well, I think the point that Senator Kamara has raised is really significant, and that is the fact when we have limited land available, we ought to be looking very practically at how we use that land. And I'm really questioning the approach that the Board of Regents has taken on this thing. And I'd like to know whether there's zoning limitations that are going to tell us we can't go over three stories, four stories, or something.
Well, I would certainly like to, I really didn't have any question with this until Mr. Anderson spoke, and now I'm beginning to wonder just what problems they may run into with the city. Nothing's been firmed up yet because it wouldn't be appropriate because they haven't bought the land yet. Well, that's not a satisfactory answer, being blunt about it. The satisfactory answer has to be that it's understood that if the university buys this, this is what they can do with it. Otherwise, maybe they don't want to buy it. And so there should be possibly some kind of commitment from the planning and zoning people in the assembly, even though it's not in the form of a formal resolution, until they act officially on the issue, you know.
Yeah, Dave, is there any prohibition on the height with the existing building?
I've asked that question. We discussed it at a subcommittee meeting of the Board of Regents about building larger buildings. And I might say that they have exactly the same feeling. So let's try to use the land more efficiently. I talked to the, to the architect, and some of the land upon which the campus is presently built has rather poor footing. But it would be possible at considerable expense to build a building taller. And the feeling of that conversation was it would be preferable to build them taller, even though you had to worry more about the footing. It was not technically unfeasible, just more expensive. Now, some of the largest buildings in Anchorage have been built on and deep peat, many hours I was at, I forgot which ones have good footage or not. 35 acres over there is great land. There is no problem out there. No wetlands difficulties. Excellent footage, and you could build quite tall buildings with relative ease from engineering points of view.
Are the proposed buildings in that cluster 5 and 6 stories?
I asked the architect when he laid that out conceptually to start out with one, at least a central building, which would be a large building to start with. And then to show, if you look at the picture over there, show then how you would start out from one large central building to in modules add other buildings as time would go by. But the intent was that the initial building would be quite large. And with the type of land use which was initially conceived, it could probably even go as many as 8 stories, because it would have quite a bit of the science, health science, research areas, as well as the instructional areas. So you would be able to go taller and not have, again, your vertical movement problems.
Mr. Chairman, I really don't think there are any municipal regulation problems here. I think, as Dave outlines, the only possible problem you could run into is the physical characteristics of the land, and there's some very good land. Like a Providence Hospital, you know, Rogers and Babler had a plant right below there where they were extracting gravel forever, and there's some real good land there.
Well, Mr. Fisher, I'm not opposing this. In fact,
I was
one of the ones that wanted to buy the EPU campus back 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't come from Anchorage.
Yep.
But we all have read the Anchorage papers. We have all read about some of those big fights that have gone on in Anchorage about where you locate something and what restrictions there'll be on it, and it seems those happen pretty regularly. And so I guess I'd be a little concerned with that, at least an informal assurance of some kind that the municipality wasn't going to make problems for the university if we spend $11 million on the land. That's all.
If it sounds like what would be helpful is that I check with our planning and zoning department for what the current zoning is. What the current status of the joint efforts are right now. I also know that the sports fieldhouse complex that was proposed as a part of Project 80s is located in that area, and there are negotiations underway with respect to operation, use, etc. of that. And try to get you the information back to be used in a usable fashion.
Mr. Chair, I know if you're familiar with this, Pat, but Dave, when is the next get-together and the planning group?
We left the meeting, it was Wednesday we had it, and when we left the meeting, it was supposed to be reassembled this coming Wednesday. Now, I've been out of...
This week?
Sorry, I've been out of Anchorage since, and I don't know whether that has actually taken place, because one of the major actors is having some problems. Coordinated look at the land included people from the last 84, and I haven't the vaguest notion of what's come since.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that just from my personal standpoint, I would be real interested to know what the mayor and some of the other actors in that planning process might recommend with respect to other land acquisition, because it seems to me if we're going to pass or consider a bill dealing with land acquisition on the south side, maybe we have to at the same time take a look at the north side, west part of the campus.
Yeah, I think that's important, because that's when we look at the land and the way things are located, it certainly comes to mind that would be a natural direction of development.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Dr. Alcorn a question. Do you have any capital projects you're requesting this year based on the assumption that this land will be available?
Nothing based on the assumption of this land. We do have a capital project. Whether or not this land is available, that particular project would be this building right up here. I heard Senator Fisher ask Senator Kutula about a bill he put in for $30 million building. the building which has been submitted is, has a budget of $20 million at the present time, and again last week when I was in Fairbanks, one of the subcommittees of the Board of Regents discussed Senator Kula's bill and concluded that that was quite consistent with what had originally been proposed. As a matter of fact, the building originally did have a $30 million budget. This is a building which would provide quite a bit of square footage. Every time we build a building now, we play musical chairs. And so we have the original inhabitants for the building, and then they move out and they have other space. But this was a building which would have as primary occupants people in theater, art, and music. And then they would have other College of Arts and Sciences folks to fill up the building. And we had proposed it to come online basically a couple of years down the road from the time it's funded. And it would just come online in time to save our goose from another square footage call. But that would go up there. And it's not on wetlands, it's on, again, this ridge area here, which is good, solid, buildable land. We would have a problem, in one sense, if we cannot successfully complete the negotiations with the municipality for the trade of this triangle of Goose Lake Park for this strip of land over here, University Land, which has been discussed at some length with several agencies in the municipality, is a one-on-one trade right there. Because I think I mentioned earlier, such a trade would require a validation by an election.
Mr. Chairman, Dave, looking at that proposal and tying it back to the question, assuming the land were acquired, is that still the optimum location? Just looking at the map, it would be sitting all in grand isolation by itself, or at least sometimes.
Is this down here?
No, the location where it's proposed, a new building. You would still say that would be the best location even if the land were acquired, the new land?
As best we know now. Of course, if the land were acquired and the building were funded this year, there would be ample time before we were committed to the cost of specific design the building for that location to relook at the whole situation to see if a different location might be preferable for that. As best we can tell, even were we to have the land, given the relationship of buildings we believe we ought to be developing, this would be the best site. Of course, I say, with this, the ball game is very different.
Well, you didn't make a lot of sense to put your health sciences materials down, buildings, of course, down there because of the relationship to Providence and API. Right?
And actually, it makes sense in terms of the relationship to the planning of APU several years. Mm-hmm.
And then you were also thinking about that northeast, I guess that is, upper right, complex as being the Arts and Letters complex, weren't you?
This called? One up here? Yeah, that's one very good use of this area. Mm-hmm. Actually, it shows better over there is how the area cluster together.
Yeah. Yeah. Any further questions or comments?
Well, I did have one other. Sorry to keep you up here, Patrick. I'm asking Dr. Alcove's questions. You mentioned the president of the university told you of several other land acquisitions for this year, or requests for land acquisitions. Could you give me those again?
Sure. When the last July, and the part of the planning process for this year's budget submission, the statewide administration looked at our land needs in Anchorage, in Juneau, and also in Nome, and identified three possible land needs, and then put together a budget proposal for capital for $10 million for Anchorage, $1 million for Juneau, and $450,000 for Northwest Community College in Nome. And at the time that package was put together, it was based upon projected needs, but neither the statewide administration nor did the regents, when they then passed upon that, able to do more than specify, we know we have needs in this area and we better make some provision for it. And so we will make a budgetary provision in our submission for this fall. And that was the history behind pulling together $11,450,000. It was those three parts right there. And the president did ask me to bring the subject up today to remind everyone that there were the three concerns that we just had. But on the other hand, also to convey the message that the administration, statewide administration, and all the regions who have seen the bill were very supportive of it.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you, thank you. The only other bill we had before us is no one is waiting to testify on any one of these first two bills. Okay, 695 is the bill I introduced, and you will notice in your packets, instead of 2 million, that figure has been cut to 1.235 million. It's simply planning and design money for an engineering facility in Fairbanks. We do have a brief analysis by Mr. Zyback in the packets. That's a really a shorthand form of what was submitted by the School of Engineering. I guess essentially you can say this, that engineering nationwide is having problems getting students.
You're doing what?
Having problems getting students. Engineering schools are reducing enrollments, and Alaska has been a net importer of engineers much more than most states. And with all due respect to the people who do the basic research, if you don't have good engineers in Alaska, you don't. Well, we got an awful lot of problems that take engineers on. From the fact that our roads don't can't be built right yet to what do you do about sewage in Arctic soils and various things of the sort. And so this bill is simply to provide the planning and design money for it. What would be estimated to be about a $20 million facility. Now, I'll answer any questions about that, Ken, but I've given you a very brief thing. We do have a complete study, if you want to see that, which includes a lot more than just the building. The laboratory includes the what they think they need in terms of faculty and everything else, but they didn't include it here because it's not pertinent to the bill.
$1 million for the planning?
It's not planning and design. You normally figure your architects running architectural fees and so forth, you know, running up around somewhere around 7-8%, depending on what you're doing.
Was it planning and preliminary design or what?
Yeah. There was a change to the original figure, and it's the little data sheet from Mr. Zyback does show the cuts on that. We've got a new estimate of what it costs. That's to bring it up to the bid phase, you see, so that includes all your design. And I can get, I didn't ask anybody to come and testify on this, but we want that for future bill, future meeting.
Tell us if it's your priority, Chairman.
Well, it depends on the I took all three of these up at once. They're all three capital stuff for the university, and I'd just soon treat them all together.
Mr. Chairman, I was sent to Coletta in this. Of the three bills, this is the one I would be most ready to move out because this seems clear-cut and so on. The first one, there's no justification at all. And the second one, I have personal interest in just seeing if we shouldn't be dealing more comprehensively and putting more land acquisition funds in or whatever. Alternatively, we let Terry Stimson deal with them in the Finance Committee, but I'm not sure that's the way to go.
Well, if Terry wants to, I'm not pushing that out. I brought all three up. They all dealt with the same thing of capital for the university, and that's why I brought them together.
It might be useful to have somebody from the university at large, from the statewide system, come here and tell us how they conceive of their statewide needs, capital needs.
Thinking the same thing. What response did you get when you talked to Mr. Paradise?
The response that I received from him was that they were sorry not to have someone from statewide here, and that was basically it.
Okay. Well, Chancellor Paradise has been designated, I guess, by the President to respond to the legislature's request, but he is under the gun in some ways because as Chancellor of the Juneau campus, he doesn't have information, of course, in detail on all that's going on at other campuses. I know he felt very queasy about, for example, being in a position to speak for you, Dr. Alcott. He didn't really want that job at all. You know, he was only going to do it. He was ordered to by the President, pretty much. But we can get somebody from the university to give us a, to look at the things in statewide needs, that'd be fine, and bring all three bills back up again at the same time.
It would seem to me,
I think we ought to give some thought to at least considering a letter of intent directing the Board of Regents to look at the feasibility of the high-rise structures as they're looking at their planning and so forth. This looks to me, especially when you talk in terms of the long term, you know, where are we going 40 or 50 years from now? We're making a real mistake to just keep building these two-story buildings all over the place.
Vic used the term of an urban university, you know. An urban university, that implies a lot of things. One thing it implies is you're not really a residential campus. You've got people, an awful lot of people who are simply commuting, right? And you know, you commute to an office building downtown. What do? You commute to the skyscraper and go up and of course, Dr. Ottenhall's right. If you've got classrooms on those top floors, your elevators would take up so much space it may not pay dividends. But if you're administration or a lot of office-type things, besides administration, and there's a lot of reasons you can put those on the top floors.
The Greening Building in the Fairbanks campus is really a model of what you were talking about. Classrooms in the main floor, certain laboratory rats in the basement, and then go up to the nether regions where now, of course, accounting has taken over, where it used to be our institute up there. But, it seems to me that if we really get into this, you know, in terms of talking about statewide capital requirements, capital planning, and so on, you almost need the president of the university who has the overall outlook, and Chris Ahoy, the chief planner for the president of government. Mm-hmm. It really wouldn't be fair to any one chancellor speaking for the rest of the
Chancellor Cartwright did not really want to do that job. He would only do it if he's forced to, and because he didn't feel in a position to speak for you or for Chancellor Lawrence. Okay, well, we'll get these back up again and bring you some information from Anchorage, and then I guess Dr. Alcock's going to send us some more. And are you, that material you have, we can always Xerox that if you want before you leave. Okay, we adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Roger, say something.
Hello.